The following is brought to you in part by MFC Studios. The views and opinions of the show's hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect those of the owners, management, or staff of WGBB. And now, it came from the radio.
Welcome once again to It Came From The Radio. This is your host, Mark Toro speaking. With me in the studio, once again, I just have the preacher man, Trevor, behind the glass. And our very own Charlie Saladino has contracted the T-virus once again, so he was going to be deathly ill for a little while longer. Hopefully he'll have a speedy recovery, and he'll be able to survive the end of the world. Once again, our very own Hassan Godwin will be gingerly walking into the station ever so shortly, as is what he does. And our very own Herman Shemsinertia, as we belovedly like to call him, will be in MIA as he usually is at this time of year, or this time every other year. So if anybody's having any trouble listening to us on the air, you can go online, www.am1240wgbb.com, listen to us on a live audio streaming. Also, on the GBB website, you can see us on a high-definition web camera. Of course, this is for only the people who are listening to us live, because if you're listening to us on the archive, we will be talking to you from the past into the future, and if you turn onto the website, you will see somebody else. Unless you're listening to our show in the past at the same time we're broadcasting, so you can see us, but then we'll be talking about something else. And the phone number here is area code 631-888-8811. I am just going to take it away with the news, as I usually do. For the past couple of weeks, we haven't had any quote-unquote sad news, so this week will be no difference. Unless you would consider the end of the world a sad news item. Despite the fact that probably nothing's going to happen, and the Mayans are just screwing around with us. Supposedly, the end of the world will happen on 12/21/12, which is just a few days away. So you can place your bets on it's going to be aliens, zombies, or alien zombies, or any mix of the site that will be coming to end the world. But for the rest of us, it's just going to be another Friday. And just in case something does go wrong, this will be the last show ever, which will be kind of interesting to have as our final show of the end of the world as we know it. Let's see what else I have. Oh, okay. I was hoping for, alright, let's do this one. The, movie company known as Asylum Films, it's a company that markets and makes direct-to-DVD, quote-unquote mockbusters, as they like to call them, mock with an M. Probably have seen their stuff on the Sci-Fi Channel on, like, a Saturday night, such a brilliant movies as Mega Shark versus Giant Octopus, and amongst others. But what they like to do is they find out what movies are coming out in the future, obviously, and they decide to make a movie with a similar title of the movie that's coming out. So, for example, if a movie come out such as Snakes on a Plane, they, in turn, will have a movie called Snakes on a Train. And, of course, if there's a movie out called The Day the Earth Stood Still, Asylum Films will make a movie called The Day the Earth Stopped. So, that's what they do. And, obviously, anytime there's a movie of any name out there, they will make a mockbuster, such as is it Transmogrifiers?
I have no idea what you're talking about. I just walked in and I'm hearing absurdity. I'm hearing absolute absurdity.
I'm talking about Asylum Films, the group that makes that loves to make movies,
right?
That are
mock movies, yes. Right? Okay, I get you.
And I was listing examples of what they do, but it seems that up until this point, everybody's been kind of cool with it. And they have no, what's the word, shame at all.
you can't have shame if you're going to get into that line of work.
They say it on their website. We make movies with similar titles. That way, when they're on the shelves, they're right next to each other with similar art. They say it on the website. So there's no question about their method.
There's no ambiguity.
Right. But unfortunately, or fortunately, they are finally being sued for their latest movie, which is called The Age of the Hobbits.
Oh, I've seen that.
The lawsuit has gone so far that they actually got a temporary injunction on the film's release.
Really?
Really. The judge says there is a substantial likelihood that consumers will be confused by Age of Hobbits and mistakenly purchase the film, intending to purchase The Hobbit, An Unexpected Journey, which is out in theaters right now.
Yeah, so how could they purchase it?
The plaintiffs have presented evidence that Asylum's other films have caused such confusion amongst consumers who mistakenly purchased Asylum films and intend to purchase a different film.
They got a point. If you put that on your website, that's your intention, then you can't really defend yourself when that's what you get accused of.
Well, you might say that, yet they have their own defense.
No. let me reiterate. It's not like they're not going to try to defend themselves.
Ah, okay.
The point is, it just really should not work. That defense should not work.
Well, their defense is, this is their executives, Age of the Hobbits is about real-life human subspecies Homo florensensis, F-L-O-R.
That didn't sound good at all.
E-S-I-E-N-S-I-S.
What is that? How do I not catch it?
They were discovered in 2003 in Indonesia, which have been uniformly referred to as quote-unquote hobbits in the scientific community. As such, the term hobbits is protected under the legal doctrines of normal and traditional fair use. And if you look up, do a Google search on hobbits and archaeology reveals dozens of articles containing the term hobbits in the title. And Age of the Hobbits is not about the creatures in Tolkien's novels.
Of course,
right there is their defense.
It's a pretty flimsy defense.
It's not about the hobbits.
It's called The Hobbit, but yeah, that's... there's a term I have that I usually use that most Americans use at this point. It starts with a B, ends with a T. There's an S in the middle, but we're on the air, so I can't hear. It's BS. That's ridiculous.
So
I saw that too because I was looking through things and I was like, I should buy this just to see how bad it is.
See?
But I resisted it because I was thinking that's probably exactly what they want me to do. But Christopher Judge is in it, and Christopher Judge is well known to Stargate fans as Teal'c from Stargate fame, from, you know, Stargate, longest running sci-fi television series. Show right. On television, which was where you would find a television show. It lasted 10 years.
Find it online.
Yeah, well, that's true. Nowadays, and Hulu and all that other stuff. But basically, he was in it. He's on the cover looking Christopher Judge-ish. So I was like, oh, all right, well, how bad can it be? It's got Christopher Judge
in it. That's the question you want to ask when you see their movies. Yeah, how bad can it be? And then you're like, oh, it's this bad.
I'm sure there are hundreds of other ways to see that film other than actually buying it.
That's true. I saw Giant Shark vs. Mega Octopus in 13 parts online.
Yeah, I'm not giving them my money.
But I do.
I work hard for my money.
I do commend them for just being...
No, somebody can't commend that. They're being disingenuous, and the only honorable thing they're doing is being honest about how disingenuous they're being. So that's not something to be
like
admired.
They're going like, look, we got some crap here. We want you to buy our crap. We're going to name it like the other crap. And if you're too stupid to tell the difference,
come on. See, you know what? That's what's wrong with this. That's what's wrong with the world today. It's that everybody's like, well, you got to make a buck. And, you know, you could take advantage of the stupidity of other people. You're still being dishonest. It doesn't mean that people who get fooled didn't deserve to get fooled. But that doesn't make what you did it doesn't make you the fact that you fooled a fool the right thing. It's fair not
enough,
right.
Fair enough.
So, you know, don't raise the streamers for those idiots yet. And they're getting sued for it. And you know what? Depending on how this lawsuit goes, that might be the end of them. Because everybody's going to start thinking, yeah, you know what? We need to get these jerks.
Yeah.
And they're going to drop a lawsuit on them left and right and center. And if they're not making a mint, they're not making millions of dollars.
Probably not.
With each one of these pathetic attempts at you know, at labeling and marketing, then somewhere along the line, if enough Ridley Scotts and a whole bunch of other type guys start suing them, they're not going to be able to afford to stay in business.
That's very, very true.
I hope so.
And I actually wanted to have them on the show, so yeah.
Oh well, they're not going not after my rant.
Oh, they're not listening. They're busy yeah, hiring lawyers right now.
No, they're here. They're heroes right now. They're listening right now.
Right now. So speaking of The Hobbit, Hobbit, The Unexpected Journey, not to be confused with The Age of Hobbits, opened to a groundbreaking, record-breaking, astounding $84.4 million this weekend, making it the top three-day opening of all time for a December release, beating I Am Legend, which petered out at $77.2 million.
I didn't even know I Am Legend was a top contender. I knew it was a hit. I knew it did all right, but I didn't know it was that substantial.
$77 million the first opening weekend.
That's still good for considering the kind of movie it was.
Yeah.
The problem, the movie had serious problems that really just all they had to do was tweak the script, and that would have been an excellent film. I still liked it. I still enjoy I Am Legend, but it's very flawed, in my opinion.
So will be the sequel.
Whatever sequel they keep talking about, but you haven't heard anything about the sequel. And Will Smith's kid is almost as old as he was when they made that first movie. So,
and I remember the discussion. They were like, "Well, we're gonna make a sequel," and then someone's like, what happens?"
They try to clear that up because they sold the DVD, and the DVD has a different ending, substantially different ending. That they might try to sell as the actual official ending, even though the theatrical ending ended differently.
So it'll be the director's cut.
We'll see. Who knows? But I honestly will. I'm doubtful that there ever will be a sequel. Just like the sequel to Constantine, which we've been hearing about for 6-7 years.
Yeah. The Ghostbusters 3.
Yeah, but that's supposedly happening right now. They're doing it right now.
Yeah, they've been doing it right now for the past 5 years.
I do want to say that I saw The Hobbit on Saturday, and I think it deservedly made its money. I think it was worth the money that it made. It was, in my opinion, there were things about the story that I thought were like kind of weird, but I won't use the typical blogosphere lexicon and say I had problems with it. Or, there were things wrong with it. Just out and out say something was wrong with it. There were a few pacing moments, like in the beginning, that was like a little shaky. Just kind of a little shaky, but you got to kind of stick with it. And, knowing the previous work of the director and the production company and the writer who provided the story in the first place, it wasn't really that hard for me to kind of stick to ride it out. And it's fantastic, and it's visually flawless.
Of course, that's
yeah. But I mean, let me say again, it's not necessarily. There are some movies that are like visually beautiful, like Prometheus, of recent, even Spider-Man. Though I will use the blogosphere term, I had serious problems with the Spider-Man reboot, remake, or whatever the heck it is. But this movie is absolutely beautiful. It's a very beautiful film, and the effects are they come across a bunch of creatures and whatever. And I mean, since Jurassic Park, since the discarding of stop motion, we've all been graced with monsters and creatures, dinosaurs, dragons, and stuff like that that are believable, that are photoreal and believable. But this is just this was. Even the original Lord of the Rings with Gollum, it looked good. It looked really good, but you could still kind of tell that it was, you still had to let your, you know, suspend disbelief and just know and just let it ride.
Except that a Muppet is a...
Yeah. This is flawless.
Really?
Yes. This, in my opinion, is absolutely flawless. Where, like, yes, you still know everything is fake, but it just... If you pried it open, you could not find the strings to the puppetry.
Wow.
So it was actually beautiful.
So fun to discover the sound guy when he likes this movie.
Yeah. I'm a fan.
Wow. All right.
No compunction whatsoever. I say that with.
Speaking of, I'll mention that last. Speaking of movies, Jackie Chan, the man.
Chan the man.
Is the latest action hero to join the cast for
uh-oh.
Expendables 3.
Oh, another one. Yes. How nice. Let's keep making them.
Hey, what has Stan Lee said in Mallrats? You keep reading them, I'll keep writing them. You keep watching them, I'll keep making them.
All right, fair enough.
Jackie Chan said at a press conference that he was offered a role in Expendables 2. But because of scheduling, he wasn't able to be in it. So okay. Now he's going to be in part 3.
He was making Rumble in Brooklyn. And he couldn't make it to Expendables.
My favorite Jackie Chan story, which isn't even a real Jackie Chan story.
Oh, well, then why tell it?
Was when Rumble in the Bronx first came out. And, you know, the trailer was that, you know, he does his own stunts. And I was not familiar with him beforehand. I mean, I've heard of him. I didn't realize it was the same guy who was in the Cannonball Run movies. I had no idea. I knew he was some crazy guy that did his own stunts, but I've never seen his movies up until that point.
Okay.
And the commercial just showed him jumping from the you know, building to building, like some crazy guy. And I was working at Blockbuster at the time, and I was like, this is the greatest thing ever. This guy, really? This is going to be awesome. So everybody used to tell, hey, you know, you saw the trailer, you're going to go watch the movie. And this one lady comes up to me, she says, I'm gonna watch that movie. That guy thinks he's Superman. I'm thinking, but that's the point. That was the point of going to see the movie, because he does some crazy stuff. Yeah. But she's like, no, because he does this crazy, I'm not gonna watch it. I'm like, well,
that's her problem.
But
good night, lady.
It just confounded me that this is what they're selling.
I've been privy to so many things recently of people just losing their minds because of principles that they think should be the standard and just aren't. You know, and just people just disagree with it. I had someone tell me, this is actually a big consensus. But the last Indiana Jones movie, aliens have no business being in the Indiana Jones, no business whatsoever.
No,
and I'm
aliens,
like, yeah. Who says? It's a, you know, obviously they do, because the fourth movie has aliens in it. You know, I'll go by the canon of the people who make the movies before I go
what
by
belongs in a
yeah,
movie.
That exactly. Before I go by what you're saying, sir. Now, whether you like the movie with the aliens in it is a completely different argument.
Right.
But to say that this universe is supposed to be devoid 100% of aliens or any other kind of thing is rather ridiculous. And people just come up with these notions and they stick to them. You know, like this is the law. This is the law of the land. It's got no business being in there. This shouldn't have happened at all. This
the law that Lucas signed over.
Yeah, exactly. It's like Jar Jar. Jar Jar shouldn't have been in a Star Wars movie. It's like, yeah, unfortunately, you don't like him. I get you, but you know what? George said he should have been. So maybe we think that's a bad decision. It could just be that we don't like that character. I don't understand why that's not a possibility anymore. Like, you see things as like, oh, that character was a deal breaker, ruined the whole film. It's like, really? One character ruined the entire film for you in spite of all the other stuff that was going on and all the other, like, 50, 60 other characters that had speaking parts in the film? This one guy ruined it for you? Doesn't that say something about your ability to suspend your disbelief? Doesn't that say something about your ability to enjoy yourself at a movie? You idiot, you moron. That's where my head is at, man.
Frustrating.
Yeah. Because I can't stand these people like laying down the law. Like, who are you? Was there an amendment, you know, passed? Is that part of the Constitution? The heck is wrong with these people?
You know, it's weird. I say there's certain things that, you know, I did not like or approve of in that movie, the last year, but I still liked it because it was a nostalgia factor. Just having him there.
Yeah, just
like,
look, it, as soon as he put the hat on, I was sold.
My arch enemy, Shia LaBeouf with Fonzie. Oh, I'm like, Shia. You know, Fonzie, Shia should not be in that movie.
Fonzie, Shia.
But you know, I'm like, he was. So
see, that's the thing.
Ahead.
He shouldn't have been in that movie.
Go ahead.
No.
He was.
No.
Go ahead.
You just don't like him. It doesn't mean that anything should or shouldn't. You just didn't like it. Because
something I don't like shouldn't be a movie that I like.
No, that's not the case. That is a display of your inability to cope with reality.
No, I'm saying that in a movie I should like should have only things I like.
Who says it should? Who says that you should like it?
No, but I'm saying if I do like it, which I do, so mm-hmm. something that I like should have stuff that I like.
Obviously not, because he's in it, and you still allowed yourself to like it.
So that's what I said. This shouldn't be. This cake should not have a nut in it that I'm allergic
to. That's the problem. The word should. The word should be taken out of all that, all these scenarios. There should be no shoulds at all. Okay? And I am aware of the irony of the statement I have just made. So everybody shut up. I'm serious about that. That's ridiculous. This should never have happened. It did. So now what?
Keep
you know
moving.
What?
Keep
you should moving. You should have never blown a tire and slammed into a tree. But it happened, didn't it?
Keep it moving.
Yeah.
You're moving. So speaking of stuff that should or should not be, director Bryan Singer.
Oh, Lord.
Has confirmed.
He shouldn't be a director.
That none other than Hugh Jackman will now reprise his role as Wolverine in X-Men 2, X-Men Days of the Future Past.
What a surprise. Wait a minute. They're going to name it X-Men 2 even though there's already been an X-Men 2?
It's going to be, well.
It's X-Men Days of Future Past.
X-Men Days of Future Past. Yeah.
Okay. X-Men 2.
Well, technically.
X-Men United was the second one.
In chronological
X-Men
order.
3, which was, I forgot what X-Men 3 was, the subtitle X-Men 3. And then it goes, you go in the order of the movie, the way the movies were made. Okay? So, like, you know, Star Trek 1, 2, 3. Yeah. So there's X-Men 2, X-Men United, right. X-Men 3, I forget the name of X-Men.
Rise of the
Phoenix?
Wasn't it? I thought it
monkeys
was.
Monkeys or whatever. Man-sized apes.
Picking.
Yeah. And then there's X-Men First Class. And then they see what they do is a slick title. They slap off the numeral. Right. And then they slap on a by title, which is what they did with Star Trek, because Star Trek 1 through 6. And then the Next Generation came out and Star Trek Generations or whatever. And now they're just doing Star Trek, you know, and they're going back to Star Trek Into Darkness. They're going back to titling them.
So you can figure out years down the line which one came first. Mm-hmm.
It's like television shows when you have like say Battlestar Galactica and then you cancel it and they bring it back. And now it's Galactica 1980. It's not Battlestar Galactica anymore because you can't actually officially bring it back.
Right.
Or Sequest. It's not Sequest. Sequest DS9 was canceled, and then you brought the Sequest 2040.
Yeah.
And then they canceled that again.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's what happens. Because whenever you have a year behind the title of some rebooted show, it's not going to work. It's just never going to work.
That's why Andromeda made it.
Yeah, because they never did that.
Well, they were canceled, though.
They were canceled after 5 years, though.
No, but they were canceled, then it got taken over by the syndication. They went from,
And that's when the show got bad. But that's neither here nor there. That's neither here nor there. But you can't. Also, Galactica 1980 is stupid, because if it lasted, it would be 1981. Well, you have to change the title every year?
Every year.
So, 1996, you're watching the longest-running sci-fi show ever, Galactica 1980. And you're like,
you're still in the 80s?
Yeah, something feels dated here. I don't know. They're not still in the 80s. They're still in 1980. They're still in that 1 year. This has been the longest year ever. So much stuff happened
it's
this
like,
year.
It's like Lost. Lost is only like a couple days in that show.
Yeah, it's the most eventful days that anybody's ever seen. Exactly.
So hooray for Hugh Jackman reprising his role as Wolverine. I think he's going to be Wolverine till the day he dies.
Hey, he does a good job as Wolverine.
Ironically, he's, you know, like 5 foot, you know.
Well, he doesn't look the type, but if you notice in the comic book, they've modified the actual character in the comic book to fit Hugh Jackman.
Him out a little bit?
Well, they've turned him more into a sex symbol. He was not a sex symbol. When we were growing up, he was short. He was like 5 feet tall and covered in hair, you know, with the cigars and stuff like that. And they've basically made him much more appealing, sexually speaking.
to women.
Yes. Yeah. Well, not necessarily just to women.
And to dudes like
hairy guys. Some dudes.
There's dudes who like hairy guys.
Yeah. There's dudes. And we can talk about that because we here at It Came From Radio do not hate the gays. We don't hate the gays.
But
Hassan, like Brett Ratner hates the gays.
Yes.
I hate the gays.
All right. So finally,
We got to the end of the news. How could that have happened?
Last bit of news. This is an actual interesting, touchy subject for us here on the show.
For us specifically.
For us
exclusively.
Yes, okay. Because a couple of weeks ago, we had Wilson Ramos and Eric Rivera. Sorry, Eric.
You're the one who does the names, man.
Yeah, well, I'm the one that messes up the names, too. Yeah, sorry, Eric.
You do it all the time.
We had mentioned on how...
It's like a term of endearment now.
Spoiler. When you know yes. Name. It was a spoiler out for Spider-Man, Amazing Spider-Man number 698, because they're going to cancel the series at 700 and blah, blah. And I was holding off on the news because our guest was so adamant about it, and we had a little discussion about it.
Right.
So, turns out that there's even more spoilers to be had from 699 and then 700. And 700 is coming out next week. And the entire book, has been leaked online.
Really?
So I've seen the final page. I've seen everything. And I will not reveal it. But
well, you'll tell me what during the break.
But I have to say that, you know, it got so crazy on what happens in the book that the people who did read the spoilers decided that they're going to send death threats to the writer of the book, Dan Slott. So there's people online.
If I was Dan Slott, you know what I would do? I would take, because Christmas vacation's coming. So whatever his religious denomination is, he's probably going to have some time on his hands, some time off. I would write a death threat to everyone who wrote me a death threat and mail it back to them. No, you're not going to kill me. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you tonight. Please look over your shoulder until the day I show up to kill you.
It's like, what was that? Was it? No, Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back that they went online.
And they went to beat up everybody.
They went to beat up.
Magnolia fan.
985. Pow. So yes, Dan Slott has now been receiving death threats for a story he wrote over 3 months ago leaked online because of this.
Why does anybody
revelation
want this?
that was put out there?
Why does anybody want this? Why does anybody want fame with these lunatics out there? These people are lunatics. You can't do anything for these people. You can't do anything for these people. You can't make a good movie. You can't make a bad movie. You can't reboot a movie. You can't make a sequel to a movie. You can't make a prequel to a movie. You can't have the exact same thing happen in a movie, but you can't have anything different happen in a movie. It's ridiculous. The stuff that people ever said about The Dark Knight Rises, which I have made my point about that, but I will say the exact same thing's wrong with The Dark Knight. But this time around, because it came out next to The Avengers, people were more critical because it wasn't the religious experience that they wanted it to be. So now they critique it. You can't do anything for people. To heck with them. To heck with them. I'm telling you, I will go to that guy's house. I will write death threats with him. I will help him draft out the death threats and send them all back out. Do you see those kiddies would crap themselves if they got a death threat from their favorite comic book
writer. That will only make them want to do it more.
No. Not if you actually have a picture of yourself, clink, right next to their front door.
And then have a picture of them reading the death threat. Yeah. Like, holy crap.
How did he do this?
Freak somebody out like nobody's just... Oh. Yeah, and there's a picture where it's like...
No,
it's
you send that to their phone while they're reading it. Like, mama blah. Oh, this idiot, he sent me a death threat. I got it. Uh-oh, wait, I got a text. And then...
But your hand, like, oh. I guess I'm not writing anything else no more.
Somebody's watching me. And then put that out on the blogosphere.
All right, so those of you who want to find out, just look online. It took me 2 seconds. Google spoiler Spider-Man.
Yeah, because we don't want that threat, so we're not giving that away.
And I guess we'll talk about it when it happens. So we are ready for our break. We'll be right back with Camping Radio.
Hi, this is Amory. You've heard my voice open and close the show. Now we want to hear your voice. If you have a business or product, you can record a commercial here. We offer 30 and 60 second spots. For more information, contact Mark at mfc_studios@hotmail.com. And now, here's some music. Wow, that was hot. Now, back to our show.
And we are back.
I just want to say that Mark told me the actual end of the Spider-Man's, and it's terrible. It's absolutely terrible. But we're not going to reveal it, and I still think that people are being ridiculous wanting to murder the writer.
For that.
The writer should be kicked for it. I think they should kick him. A swift kick in his shins for that story, because it's terrible. But I don't think death threats. I still will go to his house and help him draft response death threats.
You may not agree with what he wrote.
No.
You defend his right to
I might still kick him in the shin.
You kick him
before,
in the shin.
Just before we start writing. Your story is pretty bad, but let's get these death threats out so we can have some pizza.
All right. Pizza's good.
It is.
So,
Pizza's wonderful.
This week, we have a special guest on the phone. For the first time,
because average guests. I only like special guests.
Special guests, because there was some confusion over the whole hurricane, and they were going to be on the show, and they weren't.
Hurricanes do cause,
but they're
confusion.
Okay, and they're on the phone right now. We have, as I'm going to mispronounce one of the two names,
because that's what you do.
That's what I do. I have David Phillips and Sarah Brawley. Did I have it right? They're very low.
Yeah, they're very low. I'm gonna turn them up a little bit.
Right. Are we a little quiet?
Oh, there you go.
Wow, that's
now they're too loud. No, I'm just kidding.
Very nice.
No.
So, is it Sarah Brawley?
Yes, it's Sarah Brawley.
Hey,
well done. You're one of the three people on Earth who's pronounced it correctly.
Wow!
Holy crap, man, that was awesome.
That's see a milestone for Mark Torres.
I am notorious for mispronouncing names, but I knew I was gonna get Phillips, unless it's not Phillips.
Oh,
it's Phillips. It's Phillips. It's Igor.
Three is silent. Yeah.
So why don't you introduce yourselves and tell us a little bit about your project, which is ironically suited for the end of the world, which is only 2 days away.
Wonderful.
Yes, exactly.
We're all about timing.
Yes, it seemed appropriate. Well, we are the creators of High Fructose Zombies, which is a new comic book that was released this past October at New York Comic Con. And the story goes,
when a brand new candy bar starts turning people into zombies in the small town of Sweet Tooth, it is up to Clea Brown and her ragtag group of friends to stop the evil Yumzy Corporation from raining down the sugar apocalypse.
So that's kind of what issue one is about. And issue two will come out at the beginning of February. So we're getting close to it.
Hassan is laughing hysterically, which that means he loves the absurdity of the idea.
Thank you.
Excellent.
I'm actually more scared because that if that were real, do you know how the percentage of the United States would become zombies in, like, I don't know, 15 to 20 minutes?
That's the idea.
About 50 to 60%.
Yes.
All right, so let's take it from the beginning. Where do you come up with an idea such as High Fructose Zombies? You just sitting around?
Actually, we were hiking.
Oh.
Yes, we're out hiking.
Oh, so they're nature freaks. So they're actually fitness freaks that are talking about. This is discrimination against candy eaters.
The fatties?
Yeah, the fatties. This is hating on the fatties.
We started talking about the idea that right now it's very popular for zombieism to be caused by a contagion of some sort, a disease. And we were trying to think, what's the next step in the zombie evolution? And we figured high fructose corn syrup, because it's in everything and would be inescapable. So it would allow for a mass plague, basically, of the undead.
Wow.
So those are jumping off points.
fatty zombies. That's what
are there weight challenge zombies?
Robust zombies. I don't think they get a chance because they have they snack on the bar. You can't get fat off of one bar, and then they become a zombie. So it's over.
Is it just one bar?
Yeah, it's got it, right?
Yeah, in the comic, it is the brand new candy bar called Snack Attack. And at New York Comic Con, we had a special treat where we were actually selling the candy bar itself.
How bad would you have felt if you were actually prophets and actually predicted this terrible nightmare to happen and then set it loose in New York Comic Con? How bad would you feel?
That's called effective advertising, sir.
So if they bought the candy bar, would they at least gotten a t-shirt saying where they got it from?
Yeah. I am part of the zombie apocalypse. Yeah,
that was running around.
T-shirt and
but it only takes one helping of the snack, right?
That is true.
So you actually wouldn't really have too many fatties because they wouldn't have time to bone up on it. They wouldn't be able to hoard, you know, because of, you know,
they'd exactly. Be, you don't. It does not just target heavy people.
Yeah, I know.
That would be kind of mean.
The snack attack bar is non-discriminatory.
Right.
As far as,
that part's my amendment. So we'll make that clear right now. This has nothing. That's me.
It's for anybody with a buck. You're discriminating against poor people who don't have a buck who can't afford
candy
bar. Oh,
see, now it's getting deeper. All right, let's get back to the actual. Let's get back to the actual story.
All right. So, how did you two guys get into comics? Let's go down that road.
I've been a comic book fan since the 90s. I was totally that kid who bought every single version of the cover for X-Men number one.
Wow.
Jim Lee was my idol at the time.
It was like just you and me, man.
I traveled into the Image line, and so, you know, it's been going on since then.
Mine started a little later. I just didn't have very much exposure to comics as a kid. So it wasn't really until I was older and going into comic book stores on my own. Brian Wood really pulled me back in as an adult. And from there, it just became insatiable.
So you became a comic book zombie?
Basically.
Hey, I was trying.
You're very cute. Stick to the interview.
So why would you decide that, seeing how the comic book industry is, and we've asked many of our guests this question, why in the world would you want to make a comic book knowing the state of the industry as it is?
That's a great question.
I think we didn't really have any thoughts in terms of the industry itself. We're huge fan people ourselves, and we enjoy the content that's created by others, and we wanted to make our own. We went in not with any dreams of, like, profit or any of that. It was just we wanted to make a comic book, so we did.
Wow,
we love cons, so it gave us an excuse to spend more time.
That's
at
like
cons.
That's the best answer we've gotten.
I think really going is. In without any expectation, it's like this is not our, like, well, you know, the best way to make money is comic books. I've always heard that's a huge profitable industry. You know,
right, like, right. Because whoever told you that needs a brick to the head, basically, yeah. At this point.
I actually come from, like, a theater background, so I'm used to being poor in an artistic sense. So
nicely
it seemed like a fairly natural, like, I just wanted to create something, and so we just went forth and made it happen.
Yeah.
There's got to be something else artistic I can do that makes me broke. I've exhausted all my possibilities being broke as an actor or working in a theater, so I got to do something else.
I'm tired of bussing tables, so
yeah.
I might as well.
Yeah, I might as well be broke doing something I'm going to be happy about.
So
we both have full-time day jobs, so we are lucky enough now to be in the position where we can support making the comic book and support going to some
cons and still eat.
So we're doing that in addition.
So how was that going down to the comic book convention for the first time being on the other side of the table? I mean, I remember when we did it, it's night and day. So how was your experience, being comic book fans, you going to New York Comic Con, then you're like, we're going to be on the other side of the table.
We had a phenomenal experience.
Everyone
we hung out with could not have been nicer.
Yeah, I mean, we had people who came back every day and would be like, I read a few more pages, I liked it, I'll come back tomorrow and tell you more. We had everyone who said they were going to go get money to buy it or, like, be right back, came back. It was just really cool, and it was everything we could have dreamed of.
I'm not even kidding you, we had one snarky guy, and he was like, oh, zombies, right? So I guess it's like an apocalypse, and then there's like a handful of people, and they're able to defeat a handful, and is that what it's about? Because I'm not going to want it. And Sarah turns to him and says, well, I guess this isn't the comic for you. And he turns back and says, I'll take two.
I'll take his copy as well.
So it was really a great experience. And the group who puts on New York Comic Con were so helpful to us as exhibitors that they made it such an easy thing for the setup, for getting tables, for answering questions. It was really awesome.
So let's take it from start to finish. So you were hiking how long ago when you decided to start this?
Year and a half.
Yeah.
We were hiking about a year and a half. We casually talked about it until 10 days before our wedding in July. And yes, really. And 10 days before the wedding, she's like, David, we need to have a conversation.
Uh-oh.
And I'm so terrified at that point.
That's never a good sign.
Right? You're like, oh, God, I knew it. I'm going to call my therapist now. And so, and then she's like,
have him on standby so he can hear it too, so he'll be ready when you get there.
And she's like, David, do you want to be the kind of couple who says they're going to do things or the kind of couple that does things?
What's the
now
right?
I'm worried that we're going to go to, like, Nepal and raise alpacas. and then she was like, I really think we should make that comic book. And I was like, oh, thank God.
Out of all the things that could have been said, I was like, oh, well, that's a good one.
I would have been like, no, wait, what? What?
Utterly shocking. So
I don't want to make a comic. Wait, what am I saying?
So we had our wedding, and then 3 days after that, we started page one of High Fructose Zombies.
Wow.
And when I had talked to David, we actually bought the booth then before we started the comic
that
book.
That very day.
Because what's a better motivator than a deadline? So We
got married in July, and we had from July 18th, I guess, to we had to get it written, drawn, inked, lettered, printed, and there it was at New York Comic Con, October 11th through the 14th.
Yeah.
Wow.
fun. It was a whirlwind.
It was.
All right, you guys need to write a book telling the story of how you make that comic book. All right, that's the next thing. You have that ready by next October.
Perfect.
I'll be your agent. We'll talk later.
Ten percent.
I want 10%.
So we've actually had a husband and wife team on the show before, but not in the totally creative aspect. Usually
right.
We have the motivator,
and not ones that actually sprung a surprise story of their marriage on us.
That's true. That is very.
That's
true.
Pretty awesome.
So, how is it working with your partner? I mean. Being married is in and of itself is a chore.
And you just effectively broke up their marriage by making them explore that mark. Well done.
So this is an awkward place.
Yeah. So you guys hate each other yet? No, I just want to know. We just want to know.
We really enjoy working together. We both have pretty clearly defined roles on the comic book. David's the writer. I then... read it and help edit, but it's really his purview.
So you fix it.
as the wife is supposed to do.
Yeah.
Like, perspective.
This is wrong. This is wrong. Ad nauseum is two words. Thank you.
But it's really, it's his area to take the lead. And then I do the illustrations and the inking, and David does the lettering. So while we definitely, give ideas to each other, we're very clear on who's in charge of which aspect. So we don't have any conflicts on that, and we get to spend time together. So it's fun.
Yeah, I mean, I'm the one asking for her advice on the writing because I like words, and then there's only so much space on the planet of those comic books, and then when it comes to the artwork, I know to keep my mouth shut. So it's
make that sound terrible.
It's you always have an opinion on everything, but sometimes it's you always know what? Maybe I haven't seen the whole page, and then when you finally see the whole page, you're like, I'm really glad I kept my mouth shut. That totally makes sense.
So when
you're so happy, it's disgusting.
It's amazing.
They're just so happy.
Maybe they're high off of the candy.
Yeah, we've not
left over from.
Yeah, exactly.
A new shipment of snack packs recently.
I've been eating them since 9 a.m.
Lay off your own product. Don't eat your own product.
Get on now, me.
But it's good, and then
it's been a really nice experience, and I think what also helps is that we're both. We're both probably a little bit of a workaholic.
Yeah.
So we don't mind working nights and weekends on our personal projects.
The story just doesn't stop, man. It's just like, it's all right. I'm going to stop talking.
I remember when I met you
guys. I'm disgusted. I hate people with work ethic and who are happy and, getting stuff done, taking care of business. What kind of crap is that? I don't want to hear this. All right. Goodbye.
I remember when...
Well, if you'd be willing to call my English teachers from high school and let them know that it all worked out, that would be appreciated.
I remember when we met him at the convention. I was, going through. It was actually a very small.
Were they happy?
Aisle.
Were they like bubbling?
They were, I think they were across.
Was it like,
they were across from where your table area was. It was like that little.
Was there a strange errant sunshine beaming down on them?
There was a unique energy between them two, and not knowing that you guys were married, I was like, wow, this looks like such an awesome team. And you had the pitch down, and you really sold it. I was like, wow. Not only was it an interesting idea, but the presentation, once again, the presentation was right. Like, holy crap, man, this is actually something I'd be interested in checking out.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you so much.
So how do you keep that positivity going? I mean, that
stop
convention
asking them
was...
These. Don't ask them their formula questions, man.
I don't know. Ask
yeah,
them
don't
questions.
Never ask what's in the Coke, man. Just drink it.
Yeah.
Just drink it.
I think that part of it is we've had such an awesome response from people we've encountered at Comic-Con. We did a Kickstarter. We started at the same time at Comic-Con, and then it ran for a month. And just the number of people who supported us, both friends and people we didn't know, was just awesome. The people who, after Con, took pictures of themselves with our comic and sent them to us, just... It's really made it such a fun, invigorating experience.
the people that we've met along the way have been incredibly positive and supportive, and so we're very grateful and very lucky in that respect. But also in another regard, we walked into this without expectation, and I think that that is vitally important in any artistic venture, because if you go in and you're like, I swear to God, if this doesn't work, I'm gonna cut a stick. You know, like, you can't do that. Like, it's important to walk in and just be like, I'm going to learn a lot from this, and I'll go from there.
It's essential, but it's very difficult. It's virtually...
I've failed a lot in life. I was able to learn from all those things.
Yeah, I think it's also just so far off from anything we've done before that we literally couldn't have expectations, so that helped a lot in that arena.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So when you guys came up with the idea, you did the book, and now you're going to do a second issue. Was it always intended as an ongoing series? Was it a beginning, middle, and end? Are you going to do something else? What was the plan with that? Are you just, you know what, let's just roll with it?
High Fructose Zombies was absolutely planned to be a six-issue arc for the first section. And then if we didn't kill each other at the end of it, then we would move on to three subsequent arcs. So we actually mapped that all out at the beginning.
Yeah, so this one, which will be a graphic novel that will be the six parts by the beginning of 2014, that will be all the local level, so the story within the town, and then the second story arc will move into the national level, and then the third would move on to, you know, the global level. So that's kind of how we've tiered the story. So it wouldn't be... ongoing in the sense that there is an infinite number of issues, but ongoing in that it's
it will be
multiples. Yeah,
it'll go.
If somebody walks in and hands us a bucket of money and says, right, "You're going to stretch this out forever," we go, "Not a problem."
It'll go on until it stops going.
Exactly. But we're pretty excited because the next one will actually be in color. The first one was just black and white, but because of our Kickstarter, we are getting to do it in color, and we're pretty stoked since it is a candy comic book. It lends itself to that.
Absolutely.
When you decide to make a project such as this, you know, it's not Shakespeare. It's not something groundbreaking serious. Is that also part of your personality involved in this type of thing? Because it's like Asylum, you know, they just... It just is what it is, a little crazy, and let's just roll with it. Was that an intentional idea from the start?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd say so. You know, we didn't want to make anything too serious. The idea was always playful. We liked the idea of incorporating some sense of, what's the word I'm looking for?
Je ne sais quoi. No, it was not it.
You know, some relevance or point to the story, which is, you know, the kind of health aspect, but nobody wants that to hit them over the head. So it was always intended to be much more fun, a little weird, and...
We're inherently, you know, I would say that you could make the argument that all art is political, and so I think there's always going to be a... That was my teacher from undergrad right there. But, you could say that all art is political, but I think when you're making, especially when you're making your very first artistic project in a medium like comic books, calm thyself down. Have fun with it. Like, make sure it's a story that you can have fun and play, and don't get too mired in like, this is a very serious comic book.
Well, that's hard too. It's really hard just to sit there and, you know, work on it and go, I'm just having fun. I don't really, I hope this turns into something, but I don't really have any expectations, you know, because usually you're alone. You don't have a wife with you. So usually you're alone just sitting there going,
basement.
If this doesn't work, my whole life is meaningless.
If I didn't have Sarah with me, I have absolute faith this would be like, oh, she's very tortured soul. Very tortured soul.
See, the thing is, the candy is representative of the struggles in life.
Exactly.
And then we'd be like, wow, really? Okay, well, thanks for being on the show.
Hey,
so
I think we help each other keep the levity.
So can people still get the candy bar from you guys?
Yes.
Was that like, maybe we should.
We've actually, we restocked on Snack Attack bars, and so I believe we're thinking about...
They'll be going to the cons with us next year. And eventually we're going to be selling stuff through our website, but it is under construction in terms of doing more things. Right now it's just kind of a basic page.
In process.
Yes. But yeah, we'll be bringing those with us to cons and shirts and stuff like that in the future.
Wow. I have to say, this is pretty refreshing.
Yeah, this is actually
very upbeat for the last end of the world show here.
Well, the other guy you asked if anybody he had advice for anybody who was going to do comic books, and he said quit.
Yeah.
So yeah, this is
join the military.
Yeah, exactly. This is completely different atmosphere right now.
We got less than 3 minutes. So you want to mention a website? You want to mention some places you want to promote? Now's the time.
Absolutely. You can check us out on Facebook. Just type in High Fructose Zombies. We always update all of our events there, put up new images. And then our website is highfructosezombies.com. And again, right now it's kind of a basic page, but eventually it will be.
In the next couple of months, we'll have up a more thorough website. You can also keep up with us on Twitter at @HFZombies.
And we always post events, and we're doing Boston Comic Con next year, Philadelphia Comic Con.
We got into both of those for certain.
And New York Comic Con, and maybe a few more, but those are all definite so far.
Awesome.
Well, that is extremely awesome.
Yeah. They're just really productive and like stick to it. I can't stand it. We shouldn't talk to them anymore. I don't want them on this show anymore. They're making us look bad.
I have to honestly say that the positivity from you guys is extremely offbeat.
Sickening. Offbeat. Okay, yeah, that's another thing.
And, you know, meeting you guys at the con and then the subsequent conversations we've had is pretty – I have to commend you, you know, lots of luck, lots of success with the book. And
thank you.
And I know when the next issue comes out, make sure you come on, promote that also, and hopefully be able to come down to the station because that's
absolutely. We'd love.
We would love.
I of course didn't Google the reverse directions until today and realized that the bus did not run.
Yes, they were going to be stuck here.
We can make alternative arrangements in the future.
We could get there, but we can't get back.
Yeah, that would have been perfect for the end of the book.
That'd be perfect for the end of the book if the world doesn't end. Yeah, we're doing this book. We're doing. We're doing the Sunshine Comic Book People book.
So once again, that is Sarah Brawley and David Phillips from High Fructose Zombies. On the website, on the air, everywhere. Go get their book. It's very good. That about does it for this week.
Thanks so much for having us on.
Thank you very much. So that about does it for this week on It Came From Radio. Hopefully this won't be the last show ever.
Yeah, because the world may not end.
Yeah, I have a plan. So if it works, we will be on next week. That's my plan.
Okay.
So join us right here.
It's because of you the world didn't end. Okay, excellent, excellent. Well, way to set that up.
Yeah, so join us here every week and on Wednesdays 9 o'clock on WGBB. If you miss any part of the show, the archives will be up in a week or so on www.itcamefromradio.com. And we will see you hopefully next week.
Take it easy.
You have been listening to It Came From the Radio with Mark Torres. The views and opinions of the host and guests did not necessarily reflect the views of WGBB, the owners, or staff. And now we return you to your earthly scheduled broadcast.